God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So most of the world can be divided between those who are pessimists and those who are optimists. I think most of us probably are a combination of a little bit of both, but some people are very obviously more one than the other. So for instance, I have some friends who are pessimists. And if I'm watching my favorite football team with them, let's suppose my team is undefeated. They've had an undefeated season. My pessimistic friends will say, well, it can only go downhill from here. They've won every game this season. They've got to lose sometime. So they have an automatic dour view of what will happen. On the other hand, my dad tends to be an optimist. I remember years ago when I was 12 years old, we were watching a game and we were deep in our own territory, or it just wasn't going well for us. We were on the defensive. And I remember my dad piping up and saying, well, all we need now is a fumble or an interception. And I remember bursting out laughing. And even though I didn't understand why it was so humorous to me at the time, now I do. It was funny because Dad is very optimistic. And so he thought we had a chance of winning. The bottom line is, if you look for it in the story of Numbers chapters 13 and 14, you can find pessimists and optimists. In Numbers 13 and 14, God had sent Israel, he had commanded them to go possess the land of Canaan, and they were to send 12 spies ahead to search out the land. When the report came back, 10 of the spies said this: the land's a beautiful land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the giants. Essentially, they said, we can't do this. We were in our sight as grasshoppers. We can't do this. Okay, so is that primarily pessimistic or optimistic? I think we would probably agree that that sounds pessimistic. Caleb, on the other hand, the Bible says, stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, let me ask you, does that strike you as pessimistic or optimistic? Well, I think that sounds very optimistic. Now, let's apply this paradigm, this frame, to the story after the story. When God's people refused to go into Canaan, he said, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Now we're in chapter 14, verse 25. He said, look, if you're not going to go, then you're not going to go. Go back where you came from. And your children that you were fearful about, they shall know the land which you have despised. Well, the people had an apparent change of mind. And even though God had now said, go back to the wilderness, verse 40 says, and they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Now, they had sinned, but they were making another sin by disobeying again. The first time they disobeyed by not going, now they were disobeying God by going. So let me ask you something. Was their determination now to go, was that optimism or pessimism? What about Moses? Moses said in verse 42 of chapter 14, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Was Moses being optimistic or pessimistic by telling them not to go? Well, the answer is pessimism and optimism are limited as to our understanding of what we should do. It's the wrong paradigm to have for this story. The question is not, were they optimistic or pessimistic? The question is, were they obeying or refusing? Were they living by faith or by presumption? Verse 44 says, but they presumed to go up into the hilltop. And they did so without Moses, without the Ark of the Covenant, and without God. Now, can I just tell you something? It is not presumptuous to go up against giants. It is presumptuous to go up alone, without God. When God says, go and I stay, that's presumption. When God says, stay and I go, that's presumption. Faith is not being optimistic or pessimistic. Faith is obeying God. Now, let me give you three avenues in particular. Number one, promise. When God has promised, I need to act. This was the land of promise. God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number two, when God gives a command, I need to obey. I need to live in faith and not presumption. If God commands me to go, I should not stay. When God commands me to stay, I should not go. Number three, ethic. That is the way I'm doing what I'm doing, the guidelines that govern my attitudes and actions. In chapter 13, God said, send thou men that they may search the land. The word search means to find out how. They weren't to search the land to find out if they could take the land. They were to search the land to find out how. And their entire premise was, let's go into the land and search it to find out whether we should obey God or not. In short, if your life can be explained merely by your temperament as a pessimist or an optimist, something is not right. No, we're not slaves, we're not victims. We are people with a choice today. And the choice is not whether we're going to be an optimist or a pessimist. You know, I may be wired one way or the other. My choice today is whether I will live by faith and obedience or whether I will live by presumption.